thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Open the show today talking about Tom Brady's appearance on the Stephen Colbert show last night, which I found fascinating because of how weird the whole thing was. I'm someone, if you've listened with any regularity to Felger and Maz when I chime in, or the weekend show I do with Chris Gasper, I'm someone who likes to read a little bit too much into things with professional athletes, their social media posts, why they do the things they do from a psychological standpoint. This because I spent a lot of time on a therapist couch in my 40-plus years. So I'm doing the same thing here with this appearance because I think there's something, or I thought that there was something very telling from Tom Brady and his unnatural amount of smiling that he had in this interview that helps explain, this is really going deep into this, I think it helps to me explain the deteriorating relationship that he has with Bill Belichick, because Brady, for the entire duration of the interview, especially early with Stephen Colbert, was smiling to the point, Arcand, where it looked painful. And I was like, oh, is this because of Botox? Because I think it's safe to say maybe Brady's had a little bit of work done. We're posting up a photo of the appearance here.
I think you could say that.
Yeah.
So nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think it's obvious, but yeah.
We got the pictures behind us here on the simulcast, but the whole thing was the whole time I'm just smiling, I'm talking, and I'm smiling, and I'm talking. This wasn't some weird little behavioral quirk. Again, as someone who has spent a lot of time on a therapist's couch, the uncomfortable amount of smiling from Tom Brady, I believe, was on purpose. There's a theory that shrinks and neurologists believe that's as simple as forcing a fake smile can trick your brain. It's as simple as that. It can trick your brain. It can bring stress levels down and basically trick your brain into thinking you're happy all the time. People that smile, you smile, you feel happy. And I know this probably makes me sound like more of a kook than I really am, but this was the first thought that I had last night watching this thing. As someone who's gone through life with essentially resting bitch face, that's me, looking like they're eternally bored because I normally am. My own therapist years ago asked me to try this thing. I did this. And I did. And it kind of works to a point. You walk around, you're always smiling. You look like a escaped mental patient.
Right.
But you do feel happier. But I stopped because it felt fake. And I didn't want to be walking around like I looked like I was a mental patient more than I normally do. But the short time that I did do this, it did trick my brain into thinking I was a happier person. It did make me feel somewhat better. But it felt like I was pretending.
Did it really? It made you feel better?
It did.
Like you felt better about yourself and about your life and everything else?
Not my entire life, but okay. I felt more uplifted. I didn't feel as, I don't know, as nuts as I often do. Or
were you
like
friendlier
I'm
to people? Because like I've gone out with you before. You're very outgoing. You like talk to people and stuff like that. It's not like you're
this
some recluse or whatever.
Yeah, no. I've gotten older, I've learned to be not so much of, I don't have as much anxiety in social situations that I did in my late 20s and early 30s, and this is when I was practicing this. So it did help
and
me feel better
that.
In those. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It did. But I also felt like I was pretending, like I was trying to avoid, and that I was trying to essentially have a safe space. And I hate that term because most of the people that want a safe space drive me crazy. I don't know how you would want to raise your kids that way. But it's no way to go through life, ultimately, pretending to always smile and think that everything is okay. And this is what I think Tom Brady is practicing. I really believe this. If you put the pieces together with Tom Brady, some of the things that he said, if that Seth Wickersham piece is to be believed, and again, here's the chunk. This is what I immediately thought of when I saw him smiling like a nut last night. As his age increased, this from the Seth Wickersham ESPN piece, as his age increased, Brady has become an advocate of positive thinking. Belichick's negativity and cynicism have gotten old. Brady has told other Patriots players and staff he feels he has accomplished enough that he shouldn't have to endure so much grief. Patriots staffers have noticed this year more than ever he seems to volley between unwavering confidence and driving insecurity. Brady's noted to staff a few times this year, no matter how many game-changing throws he makes, Belichick hasn't awarded him Patriot of the Week all year. Now, that last part I thought was kind of sensationalized, like some other things in the piece, but I do think that Brady doesn't want to be around negative people. Mm. I think that Belichick's attitude and his gruffness and that he looks at Brady like he's just another piece, I think that drives him nuts.
Yeah.
So he's kind of tricked his brain into being, no, everything's positive, everything's good. He's driving me nuts. I want no part of that. You couple this with the fact that Brady's aligned himself with the likes of Tony Robbins, who he did that appearance with here in Boston this summer.
Which was insane.
Who's also a big proponent of fake it till you make it and act as if and just go, you know. This is one of the things that I've watched the Netflix special about Tony Robbins.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Oh,
like,
God.
That's, wow, yeah.
Oh, man. Like, you get to be a fly on the wall for one of those type of things. And it's all this kind of stuff.
It
it's
is.
Like, yep, smile, you're going to feel better, huh? And then you hear what Gisele Bündchen said in the end of that Tom versus Time episode, the final one that dropped yesterday. I just, and she, to me, it sounds like she's the mouthpiece for Tom here. I just want to go to work. I want to feel appreciated. I want to have fun. That it makes sense. It makes sense to me, at least, that what Tom Brady was doing is he's absolutely going through life in this like smiling cocoon. He's tricked himself to be happy all the time. This is part of his brand. This is helping to sell the TB12 method. I'm always happy, even though I'm not. And it's okay to feel. Like, I think he's, I don't know. I watched that last night, and it was weird. He just doesn't seem, I don't know the guy from a hole in the wall. Frankly, I don't ever want to meet him, because I'm a big believer in never meet your heroes, you know? You don't want him to be rude to you, and then it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Happened to me with Roger Clemens as a kid at a baseball card show. I never forgot it.
Roger Clemens was a jerk? I don't believe it. I don't believe that.
The worst.
Can't be true.
And, you know, so, like,
he was nice to me.
Well, of course, because Jay Stu.
Everybody loves Stu.
Yeah, everyone loves Jay Stu. I think he doesn't want to deal with the negativity of anybody, especially as his boss, Bill Belichick. It's starting to wear on him. And I think he's... It hasn't affected how he's played. I don't expect it to. Nobody compartmentalizes like Tom Brady. It's why he's as great as he is. But I think he's kind of tricked himself a little bit too much at this point. I find him unrecognizable after watching this interview last night. He is a shell of what he used to be. Again, I don't know him from a hole in the wall, but I think he's a little too polished, a little too fake. Again, it hasn't affected his play, and that's the most important thing to me as a fan. But watching this last night, man, it was weird.
I just had an epiphany while you were talking, right? Because I was wondering, what does this have to do with Stephen Colbert and Stephen Colbert's show? Because that's like a lighthearted kind of whatever, a TV show, late night show. You come on, you answer a few questions, you chug a beer, you eat a strawberry. Why would he feel the need to put on that face on the Stephen Colbert show? And I think it just came to me. Okay? Who's one of Brady's really good friends? President of the United States?
Right.
Stephen Colbert goes on TV every night and rips the president. And maybe Brady thought, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to get myself through this appearance here with this guy who hates my best friend, who happens to be the leader of the free world, I better throw this smile on. Otherwise, it's going to get really ugly for me, and maybe my brand will take a hit if I'm rude to Stephen Colbert, who I don't like.
That's a good point.
We're reaching now, right?
Yeah, look, I mean,
we're really reaching.
If there's anybody reaching, it's probably me. This is just, this is what I thought while I was watching this thing last night. And you know, what's the bigger point of it? I wonder if, because I don't think it's gotten better between Brady, Belichick. I still think that they have yet to have this conversation that needs to happen. They need to have this adult conversation to figure this all out, at least for this coming year, whatever time is remaining for those two, and with Robert Kraft still at the helm of this whole thing. I just wonder if Brady thinks he can, in this like smiling cocoon that he's walking around in, that he can like smile this away. Like, nope, everything's fine. As long as I keep playing well and I'm happy, then everything's going to be okay. When clearly it's not. He wants to be appreciated by his boss. He wants to have fun. These are things that are now starting to bother him. Those two, Belichick, Brady, along with Kraft, they got to sit down, have the difficult conversation, get them all on the same page for the season and whatever time they have remaining. Because faking it and smiling like a robot like he did in this Colbert appearance last night, it ain't going to change a damn thing. I just thought he came off as so weird last night. Is it as bad as Tom Cruise on Oprah's couch? No. But it was close.
It's a pretty high bar to clear there.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Cruise on Oprah, I mean, that was like a whole thing.
He ain't that nuts, but he's weird.
Iconic.
He is weird. And he looked gaunt. Eat a sandwich, man. Mm. It ain't going to kill you. All right, so obviously...
And he was dressed like Nick Jonas, too, which is kind of weird.
There was I would kill to be able to wear those kind of clothes. It's all hooded sweatshirts for me. Really. Yeah. I want to be hiding the fat. All right, obviously a lot of actual NFL stuff going on today, too. Danny Amendola off to the Dolphins. Jordy Nelson released. Would you want him as a replacement if he came cheap? Thomas and Medway, your next year on Felger and Maz. Hey.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I think Jordy would be a good fit. I think, obviously, we should cut Cooks after that. I think he'd fit seamlessly with the offense, but my worry would be if he's able to be a good fit with Edelman, like bro down with him as well as Danny did. Could he ride a longboard? Could he make ridiculous videos that serve no purpose?
All right, Thomas, broing down is the least of my concerns for any of the players or anyone I know in my life.
Edelman just posted something on Instagram.
Oh?
It was it's him and Amendola hugging each other after the Super Bowl last year, I think. And Edelman says, save me a seat in Miami, or save me a seat on South Beach, is what he said.
Oh.
I think he means, like, when I come visit.
Oh, you. Yeah, when I come down there to slay with models.
Has Brady liked it yet?
Right.
Ah,
good point,
good
Jimmy.
Question. Let me check that.
He was quick with that like on the Malcolm Butler Instagram post after the Super Bowl. Jimmy in Brookline. Go ahead, you're next here on Felger and Maz. Jimmy!
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
Hello?
Hey, Mr. Murray.
Hi.
I'm still waiting for the F.U. James Reimer moment with the Patriots. Are we going to get that or what?
If you go to, maybe I'll post it later on Twitter, but I was lucky enough to be at Super Bowl 51. I essentially had that at the end of that game as they came back and beat the Falcons.
I watched that whole thing and I love that, but are the Patriots really going to do anything? This burning of the bridges thing, what's Bill's cap number? Can anybody get a firm number on that one? Is he going to give back any of his money?
Oh, well,
I doubt it,
and I wouldn't blame
him.
Who
gives back their money?
No, whatever they're paying him, it's the right amount, and it's probably not enough, considering what some of the other coaches throughout the league, some of these bums, these dummies that are running some of these teams throughout
the league. It is weird that we don't know, though, isn't it?
It is.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah, but, throughout the NFL, they're not, too hot on opening up their
books. Ah, take that, Reimer, you bum!
That was quite a while ago there, Jimmy, and hopefully we'll have some of those moments with the coming Bruins. First round against Toronto.
There it is!
All over again. I would love to relive all of that. So a lot of NFL stuff on the table. We've talked about the Bruins as well, as they're back in action tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. The Celtics, the MASH unit they are right now. We had an update on them. Jimmy, what were you saying earlier? That this game they're playing tomorrow night at home against the Wizards. Now, Al Horford's also questionable. What, with the illness still?
Al Horford is questionable. Kyrie Irving is out. Marcus Smart is out. And there are two others. Tice and someone else is out.
Oh, well. Get ready for nothing but backups tomorrow.
The semi-Ogilvy era is upon us.
Excellent. Yeah, now those tickets you were holding, like, what? No, I wanted to see Kyrie.
Give me the panda.
All right. All your thoughts on any of the things we've discussed today, 617-779-0985. Back with your calls right after this. Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Holy! Oh, I want to swear so bad.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I like anti-competitive. Stupid. They're so stupid. 98.5 Sports
Hub. Okay, what are the deep tissue massagers you do?
Yeah, well, the key in my belief is pliability.
And pliability.
Yeah, pliability is the ability to keep all your muscles in your body long and soft. Because over time...
I got the soft down.
Yeah?
I got the
not
soft
long.
Down, not the long so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we could work on that.
Oh, could we?
Yeah.
Could you...
Yeah, you want me to work on you?
Yeah, that's right.
I'd love to. You got any lotion?
Yeah.
Let me apply some lotion first. Yeah. You like lotion?
I do like lotion.
Oh.
It's going to happen here.
So first you get the lotion on.
Oh!
See?
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Yes, precious. So more from Brady's weird appearance with Stephen Colbert last night. And if you missed it, yes, he pulled up. Stephen Colbert pulled up his right sleeve, and then Brady really started getting into the muscle work out there, rubbing down Colbert, which I believe in that, too. One of the great things that I do to myself every month is I pay for a massage. A year plus now, Christian Arcand. I'm strong enough to say this. I don't care. Yeah, I pay for a massage from a man because I know he's going to really get in there with that deep tissue massage. Very important. I have back issues, lower back issues, knee problems, feet problem, plantar fasciitis, all this stuff. They put me together back like RoboCop, so I have to get the massage. And it's expensive, and it's worth every single penny. So what Brady is selling, I buy into it. Same with trying to drink as much water as possible. I'm into hot yoga. But can you not be such a weirdo about it? Man, that thing really left me shook last night. It really did. While watching it, I was like a teenage girl with both my hands underneath, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I don't know. Maybe I think too highly of Tom Brady, and he's done so much for me in my life as a sports fan, but I wish I didn't peel back that curtain and watch that interview last night because I thought it was so strange.
The whole appearance was for the book, right? Because
essentially,
Colbert had the book
out. He really didn't talk about the book that much.
He didn't, and also the book's been out for like a long time. Like the book, people were buying the book at Christmas. Yeah, that was like a big Christmas gift for like Yankee swaps and stuff like that. But what was really the purpose of this appearance? You know, like why did he didn't win the Super Bowl? Like why
I don't know.
Was he doing this?
That's what I still can't figure that out either. It's been part of this media tours on CBS stations that he starting with Good Morning America. Is that even CBS? But he was on Good Morning America that morning. They dropped the last Tom versus Time, and he does this Colbert thing last night. I don't know. I found the whole thing odd. But enough on that. Let's talk about some of the moves being made throughout the NFL. This is as busy an offseason.
ABC. Good Morning America is ABC.
That's what I thought. Right. Yeah. So I don't know. So it makes even less sense then, especially if he's not trying to plug the book. A lot of moves throughout the NFL. I don't remember being this busy before the league year even kicks off tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And everyone's done something, except the Patriots. Well, they've lost Danny Amendola. So your thoughts on all this. 617-779-0985. Rich in Bristol, Connecticut. You're next year on Felger and Maz. Hello. Rich.
Hey, I called about Amendola, but I want to talk about Brady for a quick second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't think it was that weird. I think Brady, as a spokesperson for his brand, is different than Brady, the football player. He just got his hair cut for that charity, chopped his hair off. He does all that stuff with Colbert. That's not that weird. It's not the let's go Brady football guy. It's like two different personalities.
Oh, no. Brady on the field is, he's a loon, and that's the loon that I like. Brady last night on Colbert just seemed a little, robotic.
A little weird, but, you know, I give him that. I give him that. He got his hair cut. His face maybe looks a little bit different, but anyway, okay with that.
What do you got Amendola?
Well, I don't think Belichick wants to pay Amendola and Edelman since. Basically, Edelman lost the whole last year. Now he's got his replacement. So he's not going to pay two guys to play basically the same position. I don't think Edelman's going to return punts, but Amendola didn't do much returning punts either, except maybe catch the ball.
Yeah, I wonder if this makes Deion Lewis now more attractive to the Patriots and bringing him back because they used him so much in the return game. And Amendola, I always thought was, I hate him. Look, I know he had helped him in the return game at times, but it always made me so nervous, Christian, because I always thought he was just going to get lit up, and he's such an injury liability. That is one of the knocks on him. So, I don't know. Look, they weren't going to pay the $8.25 million guaranteed that he's getting from the Miami Dolphins. You mentioned earlier, someone had posted that $8.25 million guaranteed doesn't even, that's more than he's even made here combined the last 3 years. It's too rich for their blood, and they weren't going to pay that kind of money, and the money being thrown around for wide receivers over the last 48 hours is insane. Good for the player getting it, but they're going to miss his production, especially in the postseason, because the guy is the epitome of clutch.
Yeah, he has been everything they could have possibly wanted when they first signed him. And it took a while for Amendola to get there. Like, it took a couple of years for him to finally get into that mode where he was reliable, where he was productive, where he was a playoff machine, which he has become now too, and to sort of see him leave now at the peak of that is upsetting. I mean, I can see why people are upset about this. I just don't quite think that as good as Amendola's been, that A, Edelman can't do what Amendola did, as the caller just sort of pointed to, and also Malcolm Mitchell and Brandon Cooks and whatever happens with those guys, and, you know, it's not like they got nothing. It's not like the wide receiver core is in shambles. It's not great. Both Edelman and Malcolm Mitchell are coming off of torn ACLs, and Gronkowski doesn't know if he wants to stay, and Dwayne Allen stinks, and Brandon Cooks, we're not really sure what we have there with him, but I don't get the feeling that the offense or the Patriots in general are hovering on the brink of a total collapse here. I just think that that's way too dramatic.
Yeah, I agree. This isn't catastrophic. Yeah. It sucks because, you know how, look, it still happens to me. If the Patriots are the one team of the Big Four, Christian, that I still care a little bit too much about, I have a difficult time removing myself and being objective about them, like taking the fan out of it. So it makes me a little crazy seeing all these other teams making these moves and these names that I thought would be, at least in Aqib Talib or Richard Sherman, when you need some help in that secondary, I thought, considering that those guys found this to be an attractive destination, that one of the two would have ended up here. Didn't happen. I want Nate Solder back. Still has yet to happen. There's other teams interested in him. And Amendola, to me, when you look at the numbers, even just this last postseason, divisional round, 11 catches, 13 targets, 112 yards. AFC Championship game against Jacksonville, 7 catches, 9 targets, 84 yards, 2 TDs. Clutch in that game. And then Super Bowl 52, unfortunately a loss, 8 catches, 11 targets, .152. Guy's a stud. Even the prior postseason, he's going to be tough to replace in those big moments on a third and long for Brady when he's obviously looking for someone like him, even if Julian Edelman's on the field. He's going to be tough to replace there, and there's other things that make me concerned here with Edelman coming back, wrong side of 30, torn ACL. I know we're living through, better living through chemistry and science. He should be fine, but Gronk still not in the fold yet as of right now. There's questions about those running backs out of the backfield. You'll have James White, but is Lewis going to be here? Like, it feels thin to me. But overall, you're right. No, nothing catastrophic yet. There's a lot of pieces that still have to fall here. The league year hasn't still officially started till next, till tomorrow at 4:00. Maybe Jordy Nelson comes here. Maybe they draft well. And as long as they have Brady and Belichick in 2018, overall, they should be fine. But they're going to have to make some moves here.
They're going to have to do something. And we talked about this at the beginning of the show. The word out of Gillette and the word out of Foxborough is that we're going to worry about our own guys first. We got to re-sign our own people. We got to, do this internally, and then maybe we'll look and see what's out there, which at this point seems like there's not going to be anything left. I mean, all this movement here today and yesterday sort of points in the direction of teams aren't waiting around. If the Patriots want to wait around, they've done it before. You know, they like Danny Amendola, I don't think, is any worse than when Wes Welker signed with Denver. You know, like, that was a big deal, and that was Brady's security blanket, and all that happened, and they moved on from that and were able to continue playing. But, I mean, Tom Brady was, what, 34 back then?
Like, yeah,
I mean,
right.
it was a lot different. We're coming towards the end of the window, and I think that last offseason, we got this taste of something so unusual and so out of the Bill Belichick mantra of how to do an offseason. Trading draft picks for Brandon Cooks, trading draft picks for Coney Ealy and Dwayne Allen, and sort of going out there, only four picks in the draft. Like, Belichick never does that. And it sort of seemed like there was more urgency here and more of a, all right, we got to get this done now and we got to make this happen because this could be it here. This could be the final go-round for Brady and then Amendola, not Amendola, but Garoppolo after that. This is all last offseason, mind you, before all this happened. But, you know, it's not like this is the first time we've seen this happen. Now that we're seeing it with Brady post-40, you do have to kind of wonder, okay, well, what's the plan for the future now?
And I think that's why it's a little uncomfortable, at least for me, because last year there was that urgency. When you consider Brady's age and the window closing here over the next few years, it just feels like so far this offseason's been met with a shrug, and that's a little bit concerning. But they should be okay again.
Also not like last offseason went perfectly either. I mean, Brandon Cooks was probably the best move that was made in that offseason.
Oh, I loved the Coney Ealy move when it happened because I was, lusting after those five sacks he had in that Super Bowl loss against Denver.
Yeah, I liked that too. And then he didn't make the team. And then Dwayne Allen, you know, he did what he did, dropped a bunch of passes this year. Nothing really worked out. Like, Brandon Cooks was the best thing that happened, and that's still, you know, you look at that, and I'd say Patriots fans are split on whether they even want Brandon Cooks back next year. Like, Tony Mazz just tweeted out now, trade Cooks and sign Nelson. So, you know, it's not like it's unanimous. Like, there was a definite schism in the offseason plans last year, and it didn't really work out to their favor.
Nunzio in Somerville, what have you made of the Patriots offseason thus far?
Hey, before I get to my vindictiveness Bill Belichick take, old fan of yours from FNX, a.k.a. Tony the Postman. Glad to see you enjoying what you do.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Bill Belichick. Okay, they've been usurping his power as they go. Brady put his power play. Crafty Bob's put his take in. Do you really think Belichick's going to step down if they keep pushing him? He's going to make them fire him, which is going to be Kraft firing a Hall of Fame coach. Then he's going to have to pay him everything he owes him. And then if they fall in the tub, then Belichick looks like the big genius hero as it is. He's going to force their hand all the way. He's not going to walk off. I don't care what they do to him. He's going to make sure they look like the bad guys, no matter what. What do you take on that?
Nunzio, thanks for the call, and I appreciate you remembering the station I used to work at that, like, you and nine other people listened to. I don't think that the Krafts and Robert Kraft would want to be labeled as the guy that fired Bill Belichick. I think he would be willing to put up with a whole lot of crap if this thing then got ugly before he would even consider that. He doesn't want to be have that label. Just like he didn't want to have the label of the guy and the team that traded Tom Brady.
Right, but what if it has to be one or the other? I mean, he already made the decision on Brady. The Brady decision has been made. Belichick is still okay. Well, what are you going to do? Right? I mean, there's two different things at work here. Like, yeah, if it was going to come down to Brady or Belichick, and that's the decision, Kraft kind of already made it.
Yeah, but it's also, you know, to what Robert Kraft said leading into the Super Bowl, cooler heads have to prevail here. This is why they have to have this meeting. He has to be involved here. Like, they have to figure this out. As long as Belichick's here and Brady's time remaining over the next few years, I think you get three out of them, including this one. They got to figure it all out. Have the adult conversation, Tom. You can't smile your way through it and pretend it's not happening.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the big piece. To me, that's the one domino that if you want to say what's a successful free agency for the Patriots, that's the guy. I mean, if you bring him back, to me, everything else you can work around for the most part. Not that you don't want some of these other guys back. But here's the thing. If you don't have him, you have a 41-year-old quarterback and Tom Brady coming back next year, and a big question as to who's going to protect his blind side. And I don't think they have a surefire answer behind Solder, despite their best efforts last year to get one by trading up twice in the draft to look for left tackle, but it didn't work out.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 Sports Hub, Jim Murray, Christian Arcand in for the guys today. That's ESPN Boston's Mike Reese on the importance of the Patriots re-signing Nate Solder, which has yet to happen. Seems pretty simple to me, though. If it's going to cost $12-13 million a year, and that's probably on the low side of things at this point, You pay Nate Solder that money so you can protect the blind side of Tom Brady, who will go into the season at 41 years of age. You can't leave this up to the likes of some of those names that he's referring to.
Yeah.
Cam Fleming, Connor McDermott, Tony Garcia, who had blood clots in his lungs last season. Hey, that sucks, and I'm sad that he had to deal with that. But, you know, I'm sorry, no. No, you got to sign Nate Solder.
Okay, well, you left one name off, though.
Marcus Cannon.
Right.
Yeah, but you trust him being moved over there? What? Because Dante Scarnecchia is back and he's always worked magic with the offensive line? Like, I'm sorry. I want Solder.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, that's sort of. I think that's probably the way the thinking will go. I mean, Mike Reese can say all those things, but he also wrote today in regards to the Danny Amendola thing is that the Patriots, they do this. They set a price. They set a price for each position and for each player. And what that price is as far as they're willing to go. And I don't know that they're going to go into a bidding war type situation with Nate Solder. It's just. It's not what they do.
It doesn't feel like it, especially when there is what looks like a bidding war, because we've heard these teams, Denver, the Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans. An update there from John McClain, Houston Chronicle, tweeted a short time ago, Texans still trying to get Nate Solder to play left tackle. And now this from Albert Breer of MMQB. The New York Giants are interested in signing Nate Solder as well. So a lot of teams interested in the best left tackle out on the market. So, right to you, your thoughts on this and any of the other moves today, including Danny Amendola going to the Miami Dolphins. Tommy in Milton, you're next here on Felger and Mads. Hey, Tommy.
Hi, Ma. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Listen, a couple of things. I agree with Maserati. I can't believe it, Jim. But, you know, sign Julian Nelson and try to get as high a draft pick as you can for Brandon Cooks. I mean, that's, you know, I think he's trying to set up for the future as well with these, trying to accumulate as many draft picks as he can get. And you know what, Jim? I met Tom Brady before back, 10 years ago, and him and I shouldn't talk for about 20 minutes. And I don't know if he was a phony, but he was the same as you see on television as he was back then. And Jim, one more thing. You talked about the smile thing. The only way I got with that, Jim, was when I had the window pane.
Ah, okay. Well, Tommy, thank you very much for the phone call. Let's go to, let's see, who's longest order away? Mike in Orange. You're next here on Felger and Mads. Hey, Mike.
Yo, that's me?
Yes, hello.
Hey, I'm glad you're hosting the show today. During the snowstorm, the bears are flowing, and it's awesome. Here's a hypothetical question, which I hope does not happen. Brady gets injured, season-ending injury. And what happens then?
I put my head in the oven.
Yeah, right. They forked, obviously.
No, listen, and then when he comes back, he wants to come back next year. Doesn't that, like, Armageddon between Belichick and Kraft?
I don't know. I mean, like, Mike, and thanks for the call. That's something I'd rather not think about, but hey.
Probably won't get that contract extension, I would think. Yeah, be off the table.
Considering the violence of the game, it's well within reason. It could happen. I don't know. It's worst case scenario. They'd be screwed. It's Brian Hoyer as their backup. At best, they'd be 8-8.
You could say that at any time over the last 18 years. What happens if Brady goes down? They're screwed. That's what happens if Brady goes down.
Heather and Waylon, you're next here on Felger and Mads.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
So I'm just calling, you know, about what everyone else is talking about, the Amendola loss.
Mm-hmm.
Selfishly, really sad to lose another really good-looking player. But I also just wanted to kind of get your take on our remaining receivers. You've got Edelman coming back off ACL.
Super handsome.
Mitchell was out last year. Yeah. Britt is still, you know, not got a lot of playing time. So you're putting your stake in Gronk, who's always a question mark, and relying on Cooks and Hogan. Like, what do you guys think of what we've got left?
Heather, I don't love it. As of right now, you know, Edelman, when Jordy Nelson had the same injury as Julian Edelman, he came back. He was a comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
He was ridiculous. And I think it was 2015, right? So, look,
2016. But
we're living in a time where I wouldn't be shocked if Edelman came back and he was the Julian Edelman of right before he got hurt. And he's that clutch. And he's, you know, gets the there's nobody better in the league that gets separation like him. And he's Brady's binky on third down. But it's an if. And as of right now, Rob Gronkowski is not back in the fold. Brandon Cooks, I'm not that hot on, despite 1,000-yard season, 7 touchdowns. I think that there's room for improvement there. Chris Hogan, down year for him, dealt with some injuries. Philip Dorsett, no. Kenny Britt, whatever. What's he going to do? Do we even really know? I mean, when they brought him in, we didn't really see him that much, Christian. Malcolm Mitchell, love him. Injury concern with those knees. And then what else? Cody Hollister is just going to be
the
breakout
brothers.
Year for one of the Hollister brothers. Yeah. Like, I don't love it right now with the loss of Amendola because of how clutch he's been in the postseason.
Think they draft a wideout?
Maybe. You know, I don't know. Like, that's, I'd rather them try to shore up that defense and work on either line, you know, wide receiver.
Not a position Bill has drafted well at either.
No. Yeah. No. No, I don't know. Do you feel that great about it right now?
No. I mean, I don't feel awful about it. She just sort of went over the name. Like, Edelman, Cooks, Mitchell, Gronk, let's just say for optimism's sake here, is a pretty good offense. It's not a busted offense. It's not like an offense that you look at and think, oh my God, Tom Brady's going to want out of here because of these guys. I mean, it's not like 2006 with Doug Gabriel and Rashay Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney. I mean, we're still talking about a pretty solid offense, I think.
We'll go to Andrew in Londonderry. He wants to talk Celtics. You're next here on Felger and Mez.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
So I've heard a lot about the talks in regards to trading for Anthony Davis, and I've heard a lot about, you know, Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown or something along those lines. Now, haven't we talked about Gordon Hayward getting traded yet? I mean, Gordon Hayward, let's say the Lakers pick pans out. Let's trade the both of those. I mean, he's an all-star caliber player. It's going to be a top, five pick or so. Have we not heard about that? And we've only been talking about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Andrew, if I had to guess, it's because he's played 6 minutes. And we really don't know what Gordon Hayward can bring in a Celtics uniform. And it would be nice to see what Gordon Hayward can do once he's healthy.
And even if you were going to trade him, you want to start putting the chum in the water right now, or his legs snapped in half? Like, maybe his value is not too high right now, would you think? Maybe? I don't know.
Has it gotten that desperate that quick for Celtics fans? I know it's ugly right now, and it seems
bad,
everyone's hurt, and it doesn't look that great. But has it gotten that desperate you now want to trade Gordon Hayward? Wow. And I thought the fire Belichick calls were bold. We'll go to Robert in California. You're next here on Felger and Mazz. I am quite jealous of your weather right now. Robert, go ahead.
We're getting tons of rain, and the Sierras are closed right now. They're expected to get about 5 feet of snow up there, so don't be too jealous.
Oh, all right. Well, go ahead.
Hey, anyway, so it's not what I'm hearing, who's being traded, who's signing, and stuff like that. It's what I'm not hearing that's given me, I don't know, maybe concern, maybe hope, is Lewis and Butler. You're not hearing anything, any chatter going on out there.
And well, Robert, with me, that, and I'm going to let you go because we now have the landing spot for Malcolm Butler.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
According to Adam Schefter, tweeted 47 seconds ago, former Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler intends to sign with the Tennessee Titans. Per sources, Butler will play for former Patriots linebacker Mike Vrabel and former Pats personnel man John Robinson. Butler to Tennessee.
And unless, correct me if I'm wrong here, Logan Ryan contractually is still there.
Yes.
So he will play across from Logan Ryan in that Tennessee Titans secondary. So again, from Adam Schefter, blue checkmark, ESPN. Now former Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler intending to sign with the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, those Patriots connections mentioned in the Schefter tweet. Mike Vrabel, the new head coach there, former Patriots personnel man John Robinson. I don't know. My gut reaction, that's a good fit for him and good for him. And I hope I hope the numbers, it was a down year for him overall, but I hope he's finally getting the payday that he deserved. Because overall, the Malcolm Butler experience was a positive one, I think, for most fans here. It's just a shame we never got to see him play a month ago in Super Bowl 52.
Yeah, I liked Butler and Ryan together, too. I liked that they sort of complimented each other. Ryan was this great tackler. He didn't always cover everybody, but he could tackle people. No one ever got past him once they caught the ball. And Butler was a good cover guy. So, I mean, yeah, they worked well together. They'll probably work well together in Tennessee. It's a good get for them. And, it was a playoff team last year. They're stocking up. Everyone's stocking up.
And is it this year? They're at Tennessee this year, aren't they? Or is that next year? I think you get to see him on the schedule this year. I should know that off the top of my head. Typically, I know that kind of thing. But either way, good for Malcolm Butler. I would have liked him, just for the story, for him to end up with Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions. So Matt Patricia would have had to explain why, again, Malcolm Butler didn't play in the second half of Super Bowl 52. But Malcolm Butler going with the Tennessee Titans.
Scott Zolak has a tweet.
Oh, yeah? What's Zoe have to say?
Zoe says, hearing Butler deal is bigger than Logan Ryan's.
Wow.
They play
so
Tennessee
was, what,
in Tennessee next year.
With 16 guaranteed, I believe.
I thought so. So they are at Tennessee next season.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, okay. So Ian Rappaport signing cornerback Malcolm Butler, 5-year contract worth more than $61 million with $30 million guaranteed. Oh, my God. Wow, that's way more than I thought he was going to get. Good for him. Good for that kid.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's a pretty big win for him. Not that I thought there was going to be a low market, because really what came out of that Super Bowl wasn't Malcolm Butler sucks or Malcolm Butler's a malcontent or Malcolm Butler's anything other than Malcolm Butler should have played. And I'm glad that didn't affect his market.
Just the numbers alone. Does that not prove that no matter what he did to cross Bill Belichick, and look, we all know at this point, right? Like, it would have been talked about or would have been reported if he did something absolutely terrible, like, you know, something violent to a woman or a child or an old person. What did he do? What, he crossed Bill Belichick the day of? Maybe he got a little pushy with a coach. I know, Jimmy Stewart, you've brought that up before. I feel like you have more underground sources with that than you're willing to say. But either way, the numbers on Malcolm Butler. A guy gets a five-year deal worth more than $61 million and $30 million guaranteed. Just numbers alone. Even if you didn't know football all that much, looking at that contract, you mean to tell me he wasn't worth one snap defensively in that Super Bowl? Just what, because he made you mad, Bill? Oh, my God. Good for Butler, but boy, if that isn't more proof as to why that why we will never know why Malcolm Butler really didn't get in that game. It was just because what? It was a power thing. It was an ego thing with Bill. Oh, it's so frustrating.
I can't even go over it anymore.
No, I know. I'll be mad about it forever, Christian. All right, so there you go. Wrapping up the show with some breaking news. It's been an extremely busy day
in
the NFL, and the league year hasn't even started. We'll have that tomorrow, 4 o'clock, and tomorrow here on Felger and Mass, we'll have Greg Bedard with us of Boston Sports Journal all day long. But we'll wrap up the show next, and Chris Gasper as well, that's right. Wrapping up the show next with the final words, Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blood force drama to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. The final word here today, well, as you may have noticed, there's a little bit of snow on the ground, and there's more snow coming. And this dates back to an argument I think you and Mike Felger had about the perils of driving into work in these conditions. Let's take a listen.
Riding along in my automobile.
Most of you don't know how to drive.
My baby beside me at
99.999% of the people hearing my voice.
Stole a kiss at the turn of a
I'm talking to you. You don't know how to drive, so stay home.
My curiosity running wild.
Or you don't have the right rig, so stay home.
Cruising and playing the
I was waiting for this hard-o act. I don't even need the headphones.
No particular place to
I just got here with a clenched jaw, and I got here on hate. That's how I got here.
Do you know what I did?
I have no business being here today. Zero.
Well, maybe you don't. You know what I did? I had a bowl of stuffed peppers with cauliflower rice on my lap, eating as I'm passing people on the Mass Pike, saying to this person, as I'm driving by this guy, go home. You're too afraid to drive, your rig's not right, or you're just scared, so stay home.
Can't see. Visibility's like basically zero.
Oh my God, I saw so easy. I barely had to run the wipers.
This job ends. I'm out. West Coast.
I'm telling you.
I hate that I live here during the winter. Well, it's the worst.
This is why I'm talking to everyone. Just stay home because you can't handle it. Just stay home because obviously you panic with a little bit of snow.
Felger ate a salad, returned to emails, and drank a tumbler of scotch on the way in and made it record time.
I got a lot of work done texting.
Yeah, that it really hasn't changed, except I'm not as angry, Christian. That was in the beginning of January. That was the first of the massive snowstorms, followed by like two straight weeks of negative temperatures. That's when the winter broke me. I've given up at this point. But I will say, this job ends. California, here I come, because I am done living in the winter if it wasn't for this job. Hate it, hate it, hate it.
Now you're just like the sad boy. Like, you just see the snow and you're just like,
meh. Yeah, I should fake smile more like Brady. Yeah. I should go back to what my shrink told me about 10 years ago. Like, smile more. Just fake it till you make it. What else we got?
We have time for Carlton. All right, this is Carlton in Tampa. He called in today. Let's see what he had to say.
It's Carlton in Tampa. Hello, Carlton.
Hey, Carlton.
Hey, Catboy. Close your eyes and transport yourself 10 months into the future when you'll have that toolbox. Josh McDaniels for a coach, you'll be looking back at an 8-8 season, and you'll realize that your last memory of Belichick and Brady together was when Belichick lost to a backup quarterback because he had a personal vendetta against your best quarterback. And then you realize that you've become the Buffalo Bills with Gilmore at cornerback, and maybe Gillislee still in the backfield, and the only remnants of the Tom Brady that you used to know will be watching him on The View talking cookbook. But, I mean, this is going to be your life going forward, Catboy.
Carlton,
get used to it.
Carlton, I do have to. What do you think is
still better than the Jets, by the way?
What's the tipping point? What pushes them out the door before the season?
No, no, you'll be the Jets, but it'll just be more pathetic. It'll be so sad. That's the problem. The whole team saw what he did to Malcolm Butler, and that's why Danny Amendola couldn't get out the door fast enough now to actually make some money. The team has completely lost confidence in your tool bag coach, which is why he was constructively fired by Kraft, and he won't be there a year from now. Book it.
There was a lot to like in that call from Carlton. Normally I enjoy him so much more when Felger and Maz are here because I get to do a little bit more of my thing and really marinate in the phone call.
I do like how Stephen Gilmore makes him the Bills on
that. Yeah, they're the Bills. Book it. You can book it.
The other thing was,
it's so sad. It's so sad.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.